our focus today will be on verses 13 and 14. All right, once we are there, let's read this together. Ready? "But I rejoice in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me have flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done, that ye did communicate with my affliction." All right, God bless the reading of His most holy and precious word. All right, for those who have just come in, hope you got your notes, pages 98, 99, and your discussion sheet for today. All right, the discussion sheets now are kept quite current to each lesson. All right, so you will use this discussion sheet for your discussion class later. Right, before we go any further, let's ask the Lord for His blessings. All right, let's pray. Most gracious and almost high God, give Thee thanks, O Lord, for how Thou hast sustained us and kept us, O Lord, by Your love, by Your mercies. And we pray, O Lord, that You will help us as we run through this passage, O Lord, on contentment, to be truly content in Thee, to know that all things that we have received in this life, O Lord, comes from Thee. O Lord, it is not of ourselves, but all that Thou hast granted. And in whatsoever state we are, O Lord, wherever You have called us to, what Thou hast provided for us, help us always to be content and thankful for it. And we pray, O Lord, in this time as we study Your firewood, give to us of Thy wisdom from heaven above. And we pray that in each understanding that we can derive, O Lord, that from Your word, it will be a blessing to our hearts and to our souls, to be applied, O Lord, to our daily lives, that we would not take Your word in vain or in waste, O Lord, but that we would take it as Thy precious word and Thy precious truth. So help us, O Lord, to hearken to Thee, to love Thy word. Guide us in this time, sanctify us, grant to us of strength, O Lord. Be thou with us. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. Oops. Let's stand. Okay. Right at the very top of page 98, right, we shall look at verses 13 and 14 today as we finish off this entire section on contentment. Right, if you recall, last week we went through two very familiar verses. Right, verses 11 and verse 12, where we talked about contentment, how the Apostle Paul, wherever the Lord has called him to, in whatsoever state that he was found in, whether at times when he was well provided for, or at times when he was perhaps in danger or in trial, in poverty, in need, he still found contentment in the Lord. Right, his contentment was very much unconditional. As long as he knew that the Lord was with him, that was all that he needed to be content. It's not based on the environment, not based on his current health, the strength or state, but his constant contentment was found in the Lord, knowing that the Lord was with him. Right, and today, as you look at verses 13 and 14, right, verse 13 especially, right, it's a verse that we love to quote so often. Right, I'm sure at one point of time in life, this verse would have encouraged us, or we would have sent someone to this verse, or someone who has sent this verse to us. Right, and because it's so simple. And it means so much, right? In verse 13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. You know, but before we study these two verses, we also have to remember the context of these two verses. You know, very often we just send, right, Philippians 4:13. We just send it as it is. And we don't think too much about it. But as we remember this verse, we have to understand that this verse is a testament from the Apostle Paul, where he himself, he can do all things through Christ, which strengthens him. Right, and this strengthening that the Lord gives to him, we have to understand that while the Lord grants the Apostle Paul strength, right, it is so long as the Apostle Paul continues to follow the Lord, as long as he walks within the will of the Lord. And this is exactly why this pairs very well with what he has mentioned before, that no matter where the Lord leads him, no matter whether he was well provided for, people honored him, or whether he was in a place where people were against him, people persecuted him, and in whatsoever state that he was found in, whether in illness or whether in prison, he could still find strength from the Lord because of this one simple fact. He knew that he was following the Lord in each and every single step of the way. He knew that it was obedience that he was doing all these things for the sake of the Lord, not for himself. And because of all this because of him following the Lord continued to grant to him strength. Right? This is not a verse that we use to so-called empower ourselves and feel strong and then we do whatever we want. But it's a verse that has to be guarded very carefully, right, as we look into it a little bit deeper. Right, so we have to understand, this is the Apostle Paul testifying that whatever state he was found in, wherever he was, right, the Lord's strength was with him. Right, that's how we can look at it in the context. Right, and so we can find that there's contentment in the strength of Christ. Right, and these two verses, as you look at it, one of the key points to note is that it's a verse to remind us about not just having strength in the Lord, but it's a verse of dependency to understand where the source of our strength comes from. Right, and this is often very much conflicting with ourselves because at times when we start to rely on ourselves for strength and wisdom, that is when we will not be content also. One of the key causes perhaps of discontentment in our life is perhaps when we forget that we are depending upon the Lord, when we take matters into our own hands, when we raise up our own expectations, and we start to follow our own will instead of seeking the Lord's will. Right? And we try to enforce our desires into our lives, asking God that He will help us. And when we can't achieve what we want to desire, right, or we can't achieve the standards that we want, right, in this, then we start to be discontent. And then actually the root of it sometimes we find is that because in the very first place, we have not drawn strength from the Lord, we have just depended on ourselves for a little bit, and then it grows, it grows, it grows, and then before we know it, we're just on our own path, right, and not walking rightly in the sight of the Lord. That is how this contentment can come about. Right, but if we find that we have a true contentment in the Lord, right, this true contentment that we can find in the Lord also comes with strength. Right, these two things come together. It's not a separate thing. Right, so he understands that in this verse, there's two portions to it. Right, we look at it in two halves. The very first half, I can do all things, right, through Christ who strengthened me. This first half, I can do all things, focuses, right, on the human responsibility. Right, and the second half, through Christ which strengthened me, focuses on divine sovereignty. And we shall see, right, how these two parts have a role to play in our lives, right, whether it's contentment or whether it's strength in the Lord, and how we walk in the Lord. Right, these two things are key. It cannot be without the other. Right, and there's a careful balance to these two things. So we must understand this. But we must also remember that while he starts with, I can do all things, this is him doing his human responsibility, him going out to the mission field, following wherever the Lord leads, however, whatever situation he encounters, he just follows, he just preaches, and then that's it. Right, but all these things are always subject under divine sovereignty. Where we find that even while he was in prison right now, as he writes this letter, does he have strength from the Lord? Of course he does. Right, and that's why he can say this very simply. Right, even while in prison, he still has the strength of the Lord. Right, because he knows that all things that he does in this life is all in the careful following of the Lord's will and the Lord's ministry. So first of all, let's look at the first phrase. Right, this phrase down here, I can do all things, is a phrase of enabling. Right? It enables us to act in a particular way. Right? And so sometimes, you know, when we say that we can do something, right, in our language today, we say, I can do this. It's just saying that it's possible for us to do this. Right? Can you drive a car? Yes, I can drive a car. I can do this. I can do that. So it's possible that we can do it. Right? But this phrase down here, right, it's not just referring to the possibility of action. Right? It's not that I can do this, I can do that. It's not like you're stating 10 options. Then I can do all 10 options. That's not the idea of this phrase, actually. Right? But this phrase refers actually that we are able to do it, that we have the capabilities and the sufficiency to do it. Right, it refers to the source itself. That means we ourselves, we are able to do something. And we are enabled to do it in such a way. Right? And this word down here is sometimes translated as strength, as might, or as power. Right? And in some cases, like Matthew 9:12, for example, it's used to refer to how one is healthy, how one is whole. Right? And this particular word here has an emphasis on the physical being. Right? And it's also used, for example, in Mark 14:37, also, he couldus, right? He's able to do something. He could do something. Right? So that's the idea down here. Right? And so we find that the apostle was able to do all things down here. It refers to the physical enablement that he received from the Lord. Right? There's this physical emphasis down here. Because remember in the context again, he was saying that whether he was abounding or whether he was abased, whatever state that he was found in, right? This refers to his physical state. That no matter what his conditions were, no matter what the environment that he was found in, all right, he was still enabled by the Lord to do all things. All right, and in his life, we know that there are things that have tried him. For example, in 2 Corinthians 12:7, right, we know that he suffered a thorn in the flesh that the Lord allowed to be in his life, where he prayed again and again that the Lord would remove it from him. But it was still in him, right, to continue to test him and prove him. Right, and so in 2 Corinthians 11:23 to 30, this whole long passage records all the trials that he went through, all the physical trials, whether it's shipwrecks or whether it's disease, whether it's beaten by people or in prison, or whether it's ripped or whatever it might be. Right? All these descriptions of his physical trials is not a record of his achievements to say, oh, look at what I've achieved. You know, I can suffer all this truth, I can suffer all these things, and you see how much my patience and endurance is. Right? It's not so much as of a record of all his personal achievements, what he has endured, but it's more of a testament, right, to let the believer understand that this constant strength that he received from the Lord to do all things in his life, whether it is small things or great things, whatever it might be, it's comprehensive. Every single thing that he was able to do in his entire life, whatever trial it was, or whether it was great, whether he was able to preach for 12 hours, or whether he was able to survive a beating, or whatever it might be, right? And we see how the Lord has been with him. Right? And this we have to recognize and understand, that all these things that he has done, right? Yes, as much as he has followed the Lord and went there and did all these things, he spoke, he traveled, he walked, he lived. But still, right, as much as he did all these things, strength came from the Lord. Right? And so throughout all these physical trials that he went through, right, we have to understand that this repeated testing all throughout this time, right, he was able to do it because of the strength of the Lord, not so much as of himself. Right? And this thing we have to note also, it's a repeated kind of testing. It's not a one-off thing where he goes through one very, very huge, great tribulation, right? Just one time, then that's it. But it's a repeated trial. Right? He was not just beaten once, not just shipwrecked once, not just sick once, but again and again and again and again and again. Right? And we're looking at his life, at how much he has gone through. And from this, we know and understand that all throughout this time, right, it was the Lord that has been with him. Right? This is exactly why we can tie into the previous two verses on his contentment. And that's the most remarkable part about it, because we must not just see as, oh, this is strength from the Lord, and then he has the strength to go through all this with patience, but, you know, while he was enduring, he was complaining and whining away. That's not how he was. But even in such trials, yes, at times he cried to the Lord, but still, right, in his testimony, he stated whatsoever state he was found in, there was contentment. And this contentment, right, relies upon the strength that he has in the Lord. That's how he was able to be content, because he knew in his physical body, if he was going to die at a point of time, then he would have just died. That's it. Right? But he would have died contently, knowing that God has given to him strength until that point of time. And we know that, according to tradition and history, the Apostle Paul was apparently tortured and then beheaded by the Emperor Nero. Right? And so, even until the very last point of his life, most probably he would have testified and said the same thing. At this very point of time, just before I die, it is through the strength of the Lord. Right? Not based on what conditions, environment, or what state he was found in, but in every step of the way, knowing that he was following the will of the Lord. Right? And so for all of us, we have to understand that this is not a verse that promises us superhuman powers. It's not like you quote this verse as a magical formula. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. And then suddenly, you know, you are just enabled with superhuman powers. You will never feel tired, never feel sleepy. You run your IPPT, you get gold and everything. Not that kind of idea, right? Please do not think that this is some superhuman power that God enables all of us. I mean, yes, sometimes in exceptional cases, we will find that the Lord grants to us strength more than we can imagine that we can do. Right? But however, right, I believe this is more often referring to just enabling. You know, not exceeding often, but just sufficient. Right? This verse is very often tied with a similar idea to 2 Corinthians 12:9. You can turn to it. It's a familiar verse to all of us. Right, it's a good verse to help us frame our understanding of this testament of Paul. All right, 2 Corinthians 12:9. Can read this together. All right, it's extremely familiar. All right, reading. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Right, and says here, my grace is sufficient for thee. This idea of sufficiency, enough to see him through, right? Enough to bear him through each and every single beating that he has received of. Yes, he will be bruised, he will be broken, right? He will be tired, he will be worn down, but still, The strength given to him was the strength to recover, the strength to keep going on and on and on and on. And not just one beating, but repeated trials in such a way. And you know, when we look at this verse, we think about our own lives, you know, as we serve the Lord. Is this true to our lives? Right, how often have we been perhaps burned once in our life? We go through just one very bad experience. You know, once bitten, twice shy, right? As the saying would go. And just because of this one bad experience, and then we just have a bad impression of something, and then we would never want to do this thing again. Is that how often that we feel, perhaps, in our lives as we experience things? And all the more so, perhaps, when we live as Christians, is this a description of how we are when we serve the Lord? When we perhaps enter a ministry, right, we go in with much high hopes, with much enthusiasm, with much zeal, knowing that the Lord has provided for us an area of service, so we enter into it. And then as we serve, and as we sing, and as we minister in various ways, you know, whatever you might be doing, and then after a while, you find that difficulties will come. And then perhaps you receive one very bad experience, right? Whether it's a personal problem or whatever it might be. And then out of this bad experience, how do you react to it? Is it because of just one bad experience? And then that's it, you know what? I'm going to quit this ministry, right? Then we complain against the Lord. Lord, how can you lead me to this place? Right? You give to me all these gifts to serve you, and then how come you allow this problem into my life? And then just because of this one bad experience, we just give it up. And then how can we say that we can do all things through Christ who strengthened me if we were just to give up and fail in such a way? This is perhaps not just serving the Lord and the church, but outside perhaps things like evangelism. We try ministering to one person, giving the gospel to one person, you get rejected very badly, and then because of this we get this courage, you know, and then we just give it up entirely. You know, and the next time we go for evangelism, we're just quieter, we don't have so much of a heart to share the gospel, and then we just want to go through the motion. Right, is that how we serve the Lord? See, this verse, when we read through it, right, when we understand this verse, it's not just a verse of comfort. I mean, yes, this verse is a tremendous comfort to us. You know, in times of sickness, in times of when we're really down or something, then that's when we find that there's so much comfort, right? Because we find that right now we're still alive, we're living and breathing. We understand that the Lord has given to us strength to survive so far, and so we find strength in this verse that we can live for Him, right, to live for Christ. But it's not just a verse of comfort. It's far more than that. And because it helps us through each and every single day in our lives, help us through trials in our lives, enables us to keep persevering on, going on. Right? It doesn't just allow us to maintain a level of service, but it allows us to strive on even further. You know, because when we quote this verse, you know how great a declaration we are making? Because we're telling the Lord, I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. You're basically telling the Lord, I can do all things, whatever things you send me to do, I will do it with your strength. And you know how frightening that is when we say all things that the Lord will ask me to do? That means wherever the Lord sends us, whatever trials He will put us through, whatever illness that He will bring upon us, whatever testings, no matter how terrible it might be, even unto death perhaps, we will have to go through it because simply we have just said this, I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. Right? It's a verse of comfort, it's a verse that keeps us going and persevering on, but it's also a verse that allows us to serve the Lord in His strength, doing things, right, wherever He leads us to. Right? Sometimes you think about it, this is perhaps why, perhaps in this current age and time, as you look at churches around, is that perhaps why so few are entering the full-time ministry? Is this perhaps why some are not serving in church? Right? And how dare we sometimes, you know, to quote this verse, I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. And then we give so little of ourselves. And then when an opportunity comes up to serve Him, we don't take it up. And then we put up all our excuses. You know, I'm just too tired, too weary, too taxed out. Everything. Yes, I mean, sometimes, yes, we really are too weary and too tired. But are this true excuses? Or is it, you know, something that we just concoct and just bring up just to console and tell ourselves, you know, that we are at our limits and all that? Right? So it's a verse to make us reflect and think also. Comforts, strengthens, but enables us to serve a lot so much more than we're able to do sometimes. And so we have to think and carefully consider. Right? This is a verse that reminds us, right? And it's not just a reminder. It's not just a verse to comfort and console us, but it's a verse that we have to live out. And that's the thing. And to live out this point, we can do all things. It's a tough, tough verse to do so. Because sometimes we find that even the simplest of things in our life, perhaps, you know, sometimes when we try to wake up early in the morning to do our devotion, when we try and attempt to pray, then sleepiness or weariness or tiredness overtakes us, and then we fail. Right? And then just in simple little acts, sometimes we fail. And then we give excuses to ourselves. Right? Is that how it should be for the rest of our lives? It's a poor excuse, isn't it? For people who can claim to this verse and say, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Right? That's the whole idea of this verse, to make us really reflect and think upon ourselves. In all our times when we have complained and whined and made excuses, we have to carefully think through. In all our times when we have failed the Lord, is it because we have lacked in our dependency upon Him? We have forgotten that our strength is not truly of ourselves, but it is from the Lord. It is a verse that allows us to overcome weakness, that puts aside all excuses for ourselves, and allows us to serve Him in strength. We're not complaining, but content. Content in His sufficient strength. Right, to just simply live well and follow after His will. That's it. Right, and that's how simple it really is, actually. Right, in the second page of your notes, just to note one more additional point at the very top. Right, so again, I'd like to highlight this very important point that I've said at the beginning. Right, however, this must be taken in the right context, where you would understand that all things here would refer to all that Apostle Paul was called to do. Right? This must not be a verse taken to ourselves and say, oh, you know, now that Christ has strengthened me, all right, I can throw all caution to the wind, I can do whatever it is that's reckless. Not saying you don't plan, not saying you don't watch out for danger, not saying that you don't keep your health in check and, you know, go to doctors and things like that. Of course, we have to do all these things. It's part of human responsibility. But we also must understand that our human responsibility, you know, is always under subjection to divine sovereignty. Because it's not just, I can do all things, full stop. It doesn't end there. Because it leads on to say here, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. We are able to do all things, that's human responsibility, whatever the Lord has given to us. This is under subjection to God's divine sovereignty of how He gives to us His strength, how He gives to us His help, how He enables us, how He grants to us His gifts and all that. All these things that the Lord grants to us that we are able to do, we have to do. Right? And again, this leaves us with even less excuses, or in fact, no excuses at all. Right, to do whatever the Lord commands us to do, or where He leads us to. Right, and so we find this enabling, right, is taken always in the service of the Lord, in all aspects of our life. It's not just a verse for church work, it's not just a verse for the comfort of ourselves, but it's a verse to allow us to do all things in our life, in every aspect of our life, whether it's our private devotions, or whether it's our service, or whether it's our testimony at work, or whatever it might be. As long as we are walking each step according to the will of the Lord, His strength will be with us, sufficient. Right, and we can find contentment in this, where we will have no complaint at all. Right, even in the times when we are in dire illness and sickness, when we are suffering, we can still say that the Lord has given to me sufficient strength to be alive. And while I have breath, while I have that tiny measure of strength, I can still testify for Him. I can still pray. I can still live for Him. That's the idea of this verse. Right, not just for times when we are abounding and we can do many things for the Lord, but even in simple service, even in simple testimony, even in illness and disease, even at times when we are down, there is still strength from the Lord, right? No matter where we are found in, as long as we are walking in His will, as long as we understand that each trial and test is from the Lord, and we are walking in His sight, pleasing Him for His glory. Right, and the second part of the verse here, right, it says, through Christ which strengtheneth me. Right, and this second word that Apostle Paul uses here, strengtheneth, right, you notes in, it's in the first part of this section, and it will in Christ. Right? And this word strengtheneth, right, it's a different word from can do. Right? And this word actually in the original is where we derive our word endue from. Right? It's not a word that we use very often in today's English, but to endue is to grant to someone or something strength. You're endued with strength. Right? You might find this in some hymns here and there. Right? But this strengthening, we'll find, it's not just a one-off event. It's not like, you know, you perhaps like going for a race and then you take an energy bar. You know, after you take this energy bar in the morning, you know, you need to wake up, you just need to get to work, and you can't live without a cup of coffee. And so when you drink a cup of coffee, you get a shot of caffeine, you feel all energized and ready to take on the day. Right, it's not the idea of a one-shot kind of thing, where you just take a shot of coffee, or, you know, you take your favorite food, and then you feel energized, right, or you just take a short nap. Not that kind of idea of a one-off energy boost. It's not that kind. Right, but this is a constant flow of energy, that's the idea. A constant enabling. It's like you connect an appliance to an electric socket, and then it's just turned on all the time. That's when you're endued with power in such a way. Alright, and you don't flick a switch on and off. That's the idea. You're constantly having this supply from the Lord. That's the idea of this word down here, that we are constantly endued with strength from the Lord. Right? And this we have to understand. Right? And so for all of us, we have to observe that this first part of the phrase brings out human responsibility. And here, right, when it regards to God's divine sovereignty, who God failed to provide to our strength in any way? Never, isn't it? Has God somehow run out of a supply of strength for us? No. Has God forgotten that we need strength in some areas of our life? No. He knows every part of our life. He knows all our weaknesses. He knows exactly what we're struggling with, whether it's with our health or whether it's our mental struggles or whatever it might be. He knows every single part of our weakness. And is God short on His supply in any way? Definitely not. Right? And that's why we find this verse is a verse of comfort, because we find our strength constantly comes from the Lord in all parts of our life, not just in the spiritual side, but even down to the physical side, right, or whatever it might be. Right? So that's what we understand from this. Right? So with this understanding that all these things is done through Christ and in Christ, it's where we find contentment. Right? That's the whole idea of this verse. And so at the end of the day, when we read this verse, always remember, right, that yes, you're out there living for the Lord, doing all things for the Lord, but remember this, that the strength of it all, where does it come from? It comes from the Lord, comes through Christ and in Christ. Remembering that from the very day of our salvation, your life has changed completely. Our lives are different right now. That our strength is no longer found in ourselves, our wisdom is no longer found in ourselves. But from the very point of salvation, when we have known of Christ, our Lord and our Savior, when we understand that we are saved to Him, our strength, our wisdom, or whatever all that we have in this life is now attributed to the Lord. And how we live on for the rest of our lives will always, always be according to the Lord, from the Lord and in the Lord. That's how it must be. It must be a pattern for the rest of our lives. Right? And we constantly have to keep ourselves in check, making sure that we are often subject to the Lord, that our strength comes from Him. Yes, we do our part, we sleep, we rest, we try to live our lives well, we take supplements if need be and everything, but still, end of the day, where does your dependency come from? If it's truly from the Lord, there you will find contentment for sure. And then even when you're in a down state, there will still be contentment, there will still be strength. You will not lack in strength in any way, because you will know it is still sufficient from the Lord to do all things for Him, even if it's small things, even if it's tiny things, even if it's simple things in life. But all for Him, in Christ, for His glory. Right, let's look at verse 14 before we end. Right, and just as the very last part to end off this entire section on contentment, right, it says here, notwithstanding ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Right, so here again, it's a bit of a disclaimer again. So while the Apostle Paul is exalted, he has told them, this is my testimony, that whatever state I am found in, I can do all these things through Christ who strengthened me. Right, I'm content in the Lord. But still, he's very careful about his words. He's still saying here, notwithstanding, but still, all right? He's telling the Philippian Christians, you have done well. He's saying that not that I don't appreciate all that you've done for me. Yes, my help solely comes from the Lord. Right? My strength truly comes from the Lord entirely. But still, right, he's saying that you have done extremely well as Christians, as fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. And he commends the church. Right, so there's still a place. Not saying you give to someone this verse, we can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. And then you don't do any, you don't help the person physically. You can't say that, isn't it? Right, it's like someone falls down. You can't just stand there and quote, oh, Christ can give to you strength, and then you just stand there and don't help the person. Maybe we don't do things like that. If we can, of course, we help physically, if we're able to do so. Right, so that's the idea that Paul puts across here. Yes, there's a place for the Lord to enable in strength, even while he is very far apart from them, but still, he adds a note of appreciation. He still understands that these are people who have a burden and care for him. And so in whatever way they can, they have sent help to him. Right, and so therefore he notes, notwithstanding, all right, yes, God is my strength and my all, but ye have done well as Christians, right, that ye did communicate with my affliction. Well, I'd just like to highlight this one last part, that ye did communicate with my affliction. The word communicate here, right, in your notes, in a section under contentment and assistance, right, is in the third paragraph. In notes, the word communicate, right, it literally means to fellowship with, right, you know the word koinonia, which we've went through a number of times in this epistle. Right, the idea of fellowship is fellowship with, right, and there's an idea of deep fellowship, partaking of something. And it's interesting to note that there's only used two other points. It's only used in two other places in Scripture, in Ephesians 5:11 and Revelation 18:4. And in these two verses, it's not used in a nice way. It's used very negatively when someone, right, is in deep participation in sin, in fellowship, partakers of evil with unbelievers, with men of evil. That's the idea. But down here is used in a very good way. It's used in a very wonderful way where it describes how the Philippian Christians, far apart as they might be, All right, and they might not know exactly what Paul needs and everything, but still, one thing that they've done well is that they have communicated. Their fellowship with Paul has not broken in any way. Right? Because right now, they understood that while Paul, you know, Paul says here that it is my affliction. Right? Yes, all these burdens are for him to bear, his sufferings to bear as an apostle as he, you know, picks up the cross and as he follows Christ. But these Philippian Christians never ever said this, oh, Paul, you know, he's suffering and all that. God is with him, you know, he'll be fine with the Lord. They did not say things like that. They still prayed for him. They still sent help to him. They still sent Epaphroditus and whatever help they sent along with Epaphroditus. Right? So they've still done everything right in such a way. And so they've understood that it was not just Paul's affliction, but they identified themselves with Paul. They knew that he was suffering. Right? And so it was not just a burden that Paul bore alone, but they wanted to bear this affliction with Paul. Right? And that's the idea down here. So Paul commends them for this. Right? And that's why there's this contentment that he has also in understanding that even in this dark time in his life, right, the Lord has still enabled these Philippian Christians, far as they might be, to send to him encouragement. And that's how sometimes the Lord works, when encouragement comes in ways that we do not expect. Right? And that's also an encouragement for us also to encourage and help others. Because sometimes we might think, we do something for someone else. It might seem very small. It might seem like a very small message that you send to someone. Just a very short call, a short visit. But it can mean a whole lot, and in some ways that the person does not expect. Right? And this is not just for pastors or elders or church leaders, but for every single church member. Right? And all of us, that we can do, you know, care one for another. Right? And so when these things are done also for us, it's for appreciation, that we know that this tiny thank you cards that people send you sometimes, or, you know, it's not just, you know, you've helped out in the VBS or you've done this, so just write a thank you card and give to you. It's not just a ritual that we do, but it's a small encouragement to let you understand and know that your work in the Lord has not gone unnoticed, right? And is there not contentment to understand that we're able to do a little for the Lord in such a way, right? So that's the idea down here, to encourage and to understand, right, that others have done something for the Lord too, right? And so therefore, Paul commends them. So in our life, as we have, you know, understood about contentment from this entire passage, right, are we content in our lives, in where the Lord has led us and enabled us? We might be caught in a state of distress, might have deep sorrows and deep troubles, might be afflicted with disease or illness, but still, can we say that we are content with the Lord? Can we say that we're still walking on His path? Can we say that we have a strength from Him, that in whatever state we might be found in, we will still live for Him, for His glory? All right, let us pray. Our Father and our Lord, we ask of Thee that You will help us to reflect upon our lives, and we confess, O Lord, that we have not appreciated Thy strength at times, O Lord, and times we have been far from Thee. O Lord, help us not to depend upon ourselves, but to understand that, Lord, all our strength comes from Thee, and we pray that in our lives we will be a channel of blessings to others around us, not just to be selfish in our contentment, to do all things to ourselves only, but help us, O Lord, to serve Thee in the right way, to give up our all to Thee. And we pray, O Lord, that You help us be content in whatsoever state You have allowed us to be in. Lord, not to be complacent, but to understand and know that whatever trials we face in life, Lord, we can have strength in Thee if we understand, O Lord, that we are walking on Thy path. So help us to follow after Thee, to take up the cross, O Lord. And we pray that our life will not be a life of complaint, but a life of blessing, of contentment, and a life of appreciation and praise, O Lord, of all that Thou hast done for us. So help us to walk in such a way. Help us to be a people truly joyful and content in Thee. And we pray that our testimony will stand for others around and for Thee. Through Christ our Lord, we ask and pray. Amen.